hearts to the word of the Lord. Praise God. Brother Hart, come. God bless you. Preach the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that, amen, what we have, though we may not be able to express it in words, we can feel it with our heart. And we can feel it with our soul. It's real. It's something that reaches way down deep on the inside. It changes us. It shapes us. It helps to recreate us in the image of the Lord. Praise God. I thank God for His wonderful love tonight. And though we may not be able to express it, it's joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. Now, let's worship the Lord together, would you? Hallelujah. Well, let's praise God again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I like this wonderful presence of God that we're feeling here tonight. And I'm glad that I know that God is leading the church. Yes, He is. That we have a God that will never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. And He knows the way that we go. He's preparing the way before us, before we ever get there. And oh, I love Him tonight, and I praise Him. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 7 tonight. And I don't think I'll keep you long tonight, unless the Holy Ghost really moves in a special way. But just a couple of verses of Scripture I want to leave with you tonight. From Romans chapter 11, verse 7 and verse 8. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh. For but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Now I want us to just focus upon these words. God hath given them the spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber. God, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would quicken our hearts and minister to us. Lord, that you would stir us and move us, O God. Lord, that we would shake ourselves and that we would awake to the reality. God, that we would realize the day and the hour in which we live. I realize that it's high time that we would cast off the works of darkness, and that we would put on the armor of light. Lord, let us, O God, walk as children of light, knowing the time, knowing the hour is at hand. And we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Observation reveals to us that over a period of time, that if we refuse to hearken to the Word of God, that we will eventually be unable to understand the things of God. An unresponsive heart will eventually harden itself against the moving of God's Spirit. I don't want to ever become so calloused to the moving of the Spirit of God that God cannot speak to me, that God cannot direct me, that God cannot move me to do the things that He requires of me as a child of God. I want to be able to hear His voice. He said, if you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. But we've got to be able to hear His voice when He speaks. We've got to recognize the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God moves. Jacob said, surely that God was in this place and I knew it not. God forbid that we should ever be in the presence of God and be unaware of His presence. Israel refused over and over again to obey the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord that God had given unto them. And the result of Israel's constant resistance to the will and the purpose and the mind of God is that they got to the place that they could no longer respond to the message that was preached. They could no longer see with spiritual eyes the things that God desired for them to see. They could no longer hear the things that God wanted them to hear because their eyes had become dim and their hearing had become impaired through their stubbornness and their rebellion toward the things of God. The Bible tells us that it is a dangerous thing to rebel against the will of God and the purpose of God. That rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft. That the devil will bewitch you. The devil will deceive you. He will lull you to sleep. He will cause you to be insensitive to the things of God and to be unaware that the Spirit of God is moving. Israel reached a place that they could no longer see and they could no longer hear. But it wasn't because of anything that was wrong with them physically. They had eyes to see, the Bible says. And they had ears to hear. But the Bible said there would come a day that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they couldn't see and they could not hear because they had been overcome by the spirit of slumber. The Bible says that according as it is written, that God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, even unto this day. Complacency is a dangerous state of mind. It is easy to get satisfied, to become content with mediocrity, to become content with the status quo, not to desire the things that God has promised to give to us, to become indifferent to the moving of God, to indifferent to the promises of God. There are people that reach a state of mind that they just really don't seem to understand the importance of the kingdom of God. They don't seem to understand the importance of the moving of God's Spirit in the midst of His people. And so they become indifferent. Nothing really matters anymore. Nothing is of any consequence. Nothing is a priority. And so they gradually fall into a state of slumber that I suppose that all of us have had times that we fought sleep, that we became very fatigued, and that our eyelids became heavy. Have you ever been battling sleep? That need to be sleep deprived? That due to lack of rest, due to pressures of life, that it was difficult to remain alert. It was difficult to remain aware of your surrounding. That we have all fought that in the physical realm. We fought the tendency to fall asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep. One thing that can really cause somebody to fall asleep is boredom. That when you're really not interested in what's going around you or what's happening in your world, that it's easy that allow boredom to lull you to sleep. I wonder how many school teachers have had to fight that boredom and that restlessness that causes people to just to kind of lose contact with the physical world, to just kind of drift off into Neverland and to be in a world all your own. But it's also possible in the spiritual realm to become so insensitive to the things of God and so disconnected from the plan and the purpose of God that nothing moves us. That nothing stirs our heart any longer. And so we become complacent. We lack spiritual desire. Oh God, let it never be that we should lack a desire for the things of God. Oh God, give me a spiritual appetite. Give me a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst for the things of the Lord. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. As long as we have an appetite for the things of God, that God will always supply our needs according to His riches. That God will always supply our table with spiritual meat and spiritual drink, because God wants to satisfy our soul. God wants you to be spiritually satisfied. God doesn't want you to be empty. God doesn't want you to feel a state of hopelessness and despair. God never brought you out of sin and brought you out of the slavery of this world to leave you destitute and alone. If you're lonely tonight, it's not because that God has forsaken you, because my God is a faithful God and promised to be with us to the very end. Oh God, give us a spiritual desire, a spiritual hunger, a spiritual longing to be in the presence of God. Oh, I want more and more of Jesus. I want to be more like Him. I want to experience more of His presence. Praise God. Then another thing that could cause indifference and complacency is a desire for the things of the world. To have a carnal appetite. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh God, give us a spiritual aptitude. Help us think on spiritual thoughts. If the devil's tormenting your mind, then tune the devil out and begin to meditate upon the promises and the blessings of Almighty God. Amen. Because the devil will rob you of your victory. The devil will rob you of your tranquility and peace. The devil wants to create in you dissatisfaction. The devil wants to destroy your life and convince you that there's no use in serving the Lord. But I want you to know that my God desires to give you the bounty of the kingdom of heaven. It's a Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. He desired to give you spiritual gifts and spiritual blessings that will overflow. That God will withhold no good thing, the Bible says, from them that love Him. That's the kind of God that we serve. A God that will not hold anything back. That will be a blessing in your life. But God wants to bless you. God wants your life to overflow with the abundance of His Spirit. God wants you to walk in the glory of His presence. Amen. To walk in heavenly places. To enjoy the fullness of the kingdom of God. Praise God, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not the physical elements of the world. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh God, help us to have a desire for spiritual meat and spiritual drink. Whatever you feed upon, that's what you will eventually become. If you feed your mind on spiritual thought, that you'll be spiritually minded. But if you feed your mind on carnality, that you'll be carnally minded. You want to defeat the devil? Then tune out the things that promote sensuality. But tune out the things that promote avarice and greed. Tune out the things that promote vanity and pride, and you begin to think godly thoughts. You begin to meditate upon the Word of God. You begin to glorify the name of the Lord, because the things that you keep your mind on are the things that you'll eventually become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You want to be victorious, then you think victorious thoughts. Or if you want to be more than a conqueror, then you think about the promises of God. Because God promises to be with you unto the end. And greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. We can't conform to the world. We can't desire to be like the world. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our mind in the Holy Ghost. We need to renew our mind through the study of the Word of God. We need to renew our mind through the preaching of the Word. We need to renew our mind, amen, by walking in His precepts, by meditating upon His statutes, because God is a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love. Those that lack spiritual discipline will fall into the trap of the enemy. If we don't discipline ourselves, we've got to learn some disciplines. We need to pray. We need to study the Word of God. Amen. We need to deny our flesh. If you can't deny your flesh, then the devil can have a heyday in your life. But when you learn to deny the flesh, when you learn to say no to the devil, when you learn to say no to the world, when you learn to say no to temptation, amen, you give the devil a black eye. We're not conformers to the world, but we're transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. We need spiritual discipline. We need, amen, to come to the house of God. Amen. To worship God and to have fellowship one with another. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. If ever we needed to discipline ourselves, if ever we needed, amen, to structure our lives around the things of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God, it's this day and this hour. Oh God, teach us spiritual discipline. Amen. To walk like you would have us to walk, to dress like you would have us to dress, to talk like you would have us to talk, and to be an example as you would have us to be an example. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Things that will hinder us, that will cause us to become complacent, is to love the things of the world. There's so much materialism in the world that we live in today. And yet the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Every kind of sin, every kind of digression from the Word of God can go back to a love for the material things of this life. That God doesn't want us to fall in love with material things. God doesn't want you to fall in love with riches or wealth. But God wants you to fall in love with Him. God wants you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. God wants you to fall in love with the King. Kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh God forbid that we should be lifted up in vanity and pride. God forbid that we should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That if we are going to live for God, that we're going to have to humble ourselves. But those who fall victim to the spirit of slumber are those that slowly they acquiesce. They slowly give in. They slowly conform. They slowly compromise to become more and more like the world around them. Through prayerlessness, we become powerless. Prayerlessness produces powerlessness. A prayerless church is a powerless church. But a church that knows how to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A church, amen, that understands that our only hope is to be connected to Jesus. We need to call upon His name day and night, to pray without ceasing, to call upon His name. Amen. Prayerlessness will lead to a state of slumber, where we will neglect the study of the Word of God. We will neglect the assembling of ourselves together in the body of Christ. We'll no longer look forward to worship. We'll no longer look forward to the breaking of the bread of God's Word. Why? Because we will not have a spiritual mind and a spiritual aptitude. Oh God, shake us that we should not fall into a spirit of slumber. The Bible tells us a parable about 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them had oil for their lamps and they were looking for the bridegroom to come. But there was one thing that was common to all 10 of the virgins, that they all slept while the bridegroom tarried. The wise and the foolish. I want you to know that sleep is no respecter of persons. That it's easy to grow complacent, even if you're wise. The 5 wise virgins fell asleep. The 5 foolish virgins fell asleep. They were all slumbering and sleeping, amen, while the bridegroom tarried. But the difference was that the 5 wise had already made provision, that they had already set in store, they had already made preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, and so they were aroused out of their slumber. The church may be asleep, but it's time to shake ourselves and arise and trim our lamps, because the bridegroom is about to come. Jesus is about to split the eastern sky. in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus and His faithful disciples, Peter, James, and John, they drew apart from the other disciples because it was a day of destiny. It was the day that Jesus was going to overcome the temptation to pass from the cup. And in this time of destiny, in this great struggle that He went through, He called His disciples, Peter, James, and John, that they would come with Him apart and pray, because it was time for His departure. It was time for that grand finale. The very purpose for which Jesus had come into this world was soon to be manifest. And the Bible says that while Jesus prayed, the disciples fell asleep. And Jesus came back and He said to Peter, "Couldn't you tarry with Me 1 hour? Just 1 hour, could you not tarry with Me?" And He went back and He began to pray the second time. And again He came back and He found the disciples asleep. And He went back and He prayed the third time. And again He came back. And the third time that He came back, that He found the disciples asleep once again. And the Bible says that He simply said, "Sleep on. The time of My departure is at hand." Oh, God forbid that as a church that we should ever fall into such a state of slumber that we cannot be aroused in a time of need, in a day of destiny, that we could not even pray, not even 1 hour with the Master. It was a time of destiny. There was a time of great need. He needed them. He needed their prayers. He needed them to join with Him in the great struggle that He was going through. But when it came the time that He had to do it alone, because they were asleep. There are some people in life that cannot afford the luxury of sleep. There are some that cannot even nod off for just a few minutes, even when they find themselves exhausted. An engineer on a train, when he's rumbling down the tracks at 60 miles an hour, he cannot afford to fall asleep at the wheel. He cannot afford to nod off, not even for a few moments, because it may be needful for him to bring the train to a stop, to avoid a collision, to avoid some tragedy up ahead. The pilot of a 747 on takeoff or landing, they cannot afford the luxury of falling under the spell of the spirit of slumber. And I want you to know that neither can a church, neither can a people that have been given the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to fall asleep at the wheel. We cannot afford the luxury of complacency, especially in this hour that we now live. We are living, I believe, in the generation that it shall soon welcome the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot afford the luxury of slumber. Several years ago, the Russians developed a computerized warning system that monitors human speech patterns. And what it's monitoring is it's looking for signs of fatigue. Even the slightest change of inflection or tone in the human voice can be a danger sign that fatigue is coming on. This computerized warning system can save lives because it anticipates the spirit of slumber before it engulfs that individual and removes them from having the ability of acting in a time of crisis. I would that, and the church, that we had such a warning system. But I believe that we do. It is not something that was developed by the ingenuity of man. It's not something that technology provides. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our speech often reveals things about our spiritual condition that we may not even be aware of. But God understands, and God knows how to read, and God knows how to monitor, amen, our spiritual condition. Just as pilots, their speech patterns change at the signs of fatigue, I believe it possible that when we become spiritually fatigued, that our speech betrays our spiritual acumen, our spiritual state of mind or state of being. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Murmuring, complaining, criticizing is a sure sign of spiritual fatigue. We don't have the luxury of falling asleep at the wheel. At the first sign that you're getting weary, at the first sign that you have lost some of your spiritual desire and spiritual yearning, it's time to find a place to pray. It's time to find, amen, the Word of God to strengthen you and to undergird you and to prepare you to face the challenges of life. Because as a church, we cannot afford the luxury of sleep. The five virgins that were wise and the five virgins that were foolish, they all slept, for the bridegroom tarried. You see, because there's something about waiting, there's something about not knowing the hour that makes it very easy to become complacent. We don't know the day, and we don't know the hour when the Lord's coming back. It's so easy to just settle on our lees and become comfortable with life. But we need to shake ourselves. Amen. You may be wise tonight, but if you're asleep, you still need to come alive. You still need to rise and trim your lamp, because the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. I think of the words that Jesus spake to His disciples. Couldn't you tarry with me 1 hour? I don't know where we are on the prophetic time clock, but I believe that midnight is not very far away. Could it be that we're just 1 hour from midnight? Could it be that we're living in the final days that approach the coming of the Lord? Could you not tarry with me 1 hour that Jesus is coming? Can't we arouse ourselves? Can't we shake ourselves? Can't we motivate ourselves to live like God would have us to live and to witness like God would have us to witness? Can't you tarry with me 1 hour? Oh, God forbid that we should be overcome by the spirit of slumber. But the longer we refuse, the longer we ignore the tugging of the Spirit of God upon our heart, the longer we procrastinate and put off making that commitment to the Lord, the easier it is to become a victim of indifference and complacency. Oh God, don't let me be complacent. God, don't let me become hardened so that I cannot feel. Don't let me become desensitized. But oh God, whet my spiritual appetite. God, heal my eyes that I can see. Open my ears that I can hear Your voice when You speak. Because I don't want to be one that has been rocked to sleep, that's fallen beneath the hypnotic spell of this age that we live in today. Oh God, rouse me from my slumber and let me be the child of God that You called me to be. Let me arise and let me feel my potential, God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this is an hour of destiny. This is an hour of victory to those that will not be overcome by the devil's lies, by his deception. God, rouse us. Let our hearing, O God, be clear. Let our vision, O God, take in the will and the purpose and the plan that You've set before us. Praise God. Would You stand tonight? Oh God, don't let me sleep while the world is lost. Don't let me sleep while there are men and women that are crying out in need. Don't let me sleep while revival tarries. Don't let me sleep, oh God, while You struggle to fulfill Your will and Your purpose in this generation. Don't let me sleep. If You want to be a part of God's plan, if You want to be a part of this hour, if You want to be a part of revival, then you've got to rouse yourself. You've got to yearn for the things of God. Oh God, let me taste. Let me taste, oh God, the things that You promised. Let me be a partaker of Your promises, oh God. Don't let me sleep. Oh, hallelujah. I feel a conviction in this house tonight. I feel a moving of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Don't hold back. Don't allow anything to stand between you and the will and the purpose of God. But let's come together. These altars, amen, need to fill up right now. Let's fill up these altars, amen, with prayer. Let's fill up these altars with faith. And let's call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, is there anyone here tonight that you want Jesus? That you want God in your life? You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to be baptized in His name? You want to be ready for the trumpet? Because the trumpet's going to sound, and He's going to call out His people that have made their calling and their election sure. Don't let the world
Don't let the world fool you. Don't let the world convince you.
I've had my fill.
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
I hunger still.
Oh, while the world sleeps, let's arise and walk as children of light.
Lord,
amen. While the world slumbers, let us arise to the task. Let us do what God has called us to do and be faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you tonight.